Every month in the magazine, Great Days Outdoors, we have a special column written by David Thornton, and it's all about pier and shore fishing. And each month he gives us some specific tips and information about how to do that better. He is with us now, and I wanted to really get into some details with you, David, about pier fishing. For those listeners who may not have ever done it before, and also those listeners who want to get better at it. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Yeah, it's a great place to learn. I feel like a lot of what I learned about fishing for the last 50 years has been on the pier. It's a great platform to observe the fish as well as other fishermen, see how, you know, they're doing it, what's working and what's not.
Well, I would qualify myself as a novice pier fisherman. You know, I hadn't done a lot of it. I've done some of it, but I'm not geared up for it. You know, I don't have a lot of specific gear for pier fishing. So what kind of gear, first of all, the basic stuff that we need to have to begin catching fish on the pier?
Yeah, when I meet with people who want to learn more, maybe they have freshwater tackle or something like that, I'll teach them how to start with what they have. That's the best place to start, usually. And after they get, you know, a couple of opportunities under their belt, they have a much better idea of which direction they want to move in. You know, everybody seems to find their favorite. Some people like the inshore fish that are available. Some like the big pelagic fish that are available off the end. So they can adjust their tackle preferences to that.
Hmm. Well, David, this time of year is, I mean, in my opinion, it's just the best time to be fishing off the pier, off the shore. I mean, so much going on. There's so many different opportunities out there. You know, but one of the things that's unique about pier fishing is that there's a set of etiquette that is different depending on which pier you go to. If you go to the Gulf State Park pier, it's one set of, it's not rules, but it's kind of unspoken, I guess, and in some cases spoken rules. Whereas if you go to the Navarre pier, it's going to be different. So shed a little light on the Gulf State Park pier and some of that etiquette that people may not understand.
Okay, yeah, they have a little bit different rules of doing things. They try to keep the railing on the end of the pier open instead of leaning rods against it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Joe, every pier kind of has its own flavor, and part of that is the specific rules they have in effect, and the other is the experienced anglers who kind of help everybody learn those little etiquette tricks and stuff like that, and so they fit in, you know, that way nobody's going against the grain and messes everybody else up. They very quickly get straightened out.
Yeah, well, give me an example of that. Like, let's talk about cobia fishing. There's a few cobias starting to be caught. If I go to the Gulf State Park pier this weekend and I want to look for a cobia, I'm going to take my one of my big spinning rods out there, I'm going to put a good bucktail jig on there, and I'm going to start looking. What's something that's unique about that?
Well, generally, the cobia fishermen will stake out an area that looks likely to them, what we would call a lane, where we would expect the fish to pop up. Mm-hmm. And they would just kind of stick with that for a little while, start talking to other fishermen, see if they've seen anything, just to kind of help the time pass. The other fishermen generally kind of give them a little berth because they know they may suddenly just jump up and make a shot cast, mm-hmm, right over their head with that heavy jig. So they, you know, everybody kind of needs to be aware of what everybody else around them is up to. And, you know, that guy that may be sitting there for 2 hours all of a sudden may, like somebody, you know, stuck a cattle prod on him, he may jump around and run around throwing at a fish. So you might want to be ready in case to kind of step out of his way, just let him go.
Is at the Gulf State Park pier, is it do you call the fish, or can anybody throw it at any time?
Yeah, anybody can throw at any time.
And then there's other piers where if you see a cobia, for example, you can say, you know, there's a fish, or whatever you would say, and other people are going to give you first shot.
Yeah, they call that first shot, and they yell that out so the other fishermen know that they've spotted the fish already, and they hold back until that fisherman has an opportunity to make his cast and work the jig in front of the fish. But if the fish turns off, then it's fair game from there.
Right, right. That's interesting. One of the things that I appreciate about you, David, is that, and having read some of your reports about fishing on the pier specifically, is that you come ready to catch fish, whether you don't necessarily go thinking about one particular species. You got an idea what might be available, but you're opportunistic, and I'm more of a, you know, I want to fish for one thing when I go. So tell us a little bit about approaching a day at the pier and being ready to put fish on the deck, whether it's a, you know, sheep's head up against the piling or a pompano that swims by or a cobia or a king mackerel or a Spanish mackerel. I mean, there's so many different things going on.
Yeah, there's, you know, especially April, you know, like you mentioned, there's so many opportunities available this time of year that sometimes it's difficult to make the decision until you walk on the pier or maybe even start fishing for a little while. Maybe you try for, you know, inshore fish, or maybe you try for Spanish for a little while and that's not playing out, but they're getting a few hits on the kings further out, you know, so it's like, well, I'm glad I brought my big rod so that I can kingfish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few LYs starting to show up around the state pier this week, so more and more people are going to start fishing for kings, expecting them to come in, which they, you know, they had a good day and then they don't have a day, and it's the water's cool enough to where it's still spotty, so you never know really what to expect. And I just kind of developed the approach to where I want to adjust. I want to be flexible enough to where I can change my tactics or my tackle as quickly as I can to take advantage of some fish that may not even be there long. You know, say if a school of bull reds pops up or you know, Spanish mackerel or something close to the pier you can cast to, and they may be gone by the time you take one rig off and tie another one on and walk over to the rail. They, you know, just that quick in 30 seconds, it could be over.
Well, what's your favorite fish to target if you did have to, you know, if you're going to go this weekend, what's your favorite thing to do on the pier?
This time of year on the pier, I would either target pompano inshore or Spanish mackerel in the mid-range between the two platforms, or fish for king mackerel off the end.
Right.
Now, the only thing about the king mackerel is that they have been having trouble with some sharks already. They had, of seven that were hooked yesterday afternoon, only one made it to the pier, and the guy had to really do a dance to get it away from the sharks.
Yeah. Well, I know you've got your website, pierpounder.com, is where people can reach out to you, and if they want to get, you know, some specific tutorial from you on how to approach pier fishing. But talk a little bit, Alan mentioned some gear. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you only see on the pier and what you're going to really need to be successful in the long term if you are committed to doing it.
Yeah, one, you know, on the Gulf State Pier, they are, like you mentioned, different etiquettes on different piers. They're probably the only Gulf Coast pier right now that allows for trolley fishing, and that's fishing with a weighted setup and a mm-hmm. slide rig.
Okay. Explain that.
It's a you throw a weight out, and then you have a sliding rig that attaches on there and slides a bait down to the water surface, and that way you can hold the fish in the right there in the bait, rather, in the zone where the fish are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have you know, a little longer for your bait to be there in the zone where you expect the fish to come through.
So almost like a downrigger.
Except it's usually pinned to the surface, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. They call it a trolley rig. They really don't like them on the Florida piers because it does tie up the rail space. But on the state pier, they allow them what we call in the draw, which is the area between the two platforms. And that gives fishermen an opportunity that can't do you know, the Gulf Shore Shuffle, as they say, where they're leaning against the rail and following their bait around. Mm-hmm. You know, older guys, somebody that's can't get around very well, you know, or just throw out a rod for a young kid, you know, and then let him pull it in or something like that. But it's a great opportunity to hook fish that may not be hooked otherwise.
So, as a novice pier fisherman, we may want to ask, what is acceptable as far as etiquette is about moving from one location to the other? Does everybody just pick a spot and stay there, or can you move around without disturbing anyone?
Oh, yeah. You can move around and try different things in different locations.
Okay. We're talking to David Thornton about pier fishing and also shore fishing. We mentioned some special equipment that might be needed, David. I know one thing is a lot of guys who are real serious have little red wagons, what I call them, but they're a pier fishing cart that can haul a lot of equipment. And you roll it out there. It makes it real convenient. Another specialized piece of equipment is you know, when you catch a fish on that pier, you can't just haul him up 50 feet in the air. You have to have some kind of special net. Tell us about those nets that they use.
Yeah, the net is a hoop net with usually a 30-inch ring with a piece of heavy netting suspended under it and a three-way bridle rope to lower down. So when you tire your fish out, you can just lead it over this net, and then they pull it up, hoist it up onto the pier in the net so you don't lose your fish. You know, they can, even if they don't break the line, they could wiggle off the hook or tear the hook away or something like that.
Do folks work together out there, David, as far as, like if I wanted to go and I didn't have a hoop net and, you know, wasn't even sure if I was going to do pier fishing and just wanted to give it a shot, is somebody going to net my fish for me if I hook one?
Most likely, yeah. Usually somebody nearby has a net. There's so many regulars that fish out there mm-hmm. that do carry them that somebody that, you know, isn't completely equipped can still fish out there just fine. They can, you know, ask. Usually you don't even have to ask. Often mm-hmm. somebody will see you've got a good fish and just know, and they'll get a net or get a gaff if it's like a big king or something like that. Mm-hmm. So usually all you have to do is just say, hey, I need a net over here, and somebody will come running with it and help you with your fish. That's what I love about it is the, you know, the community of cooperation, because everybody knows, you know, the next fish that gets on may be theirs, and they may ask you to help them. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of give and take out there.
A beginner doesn't have to necessarily be intimidated. It's a friendly atmosphere, right?
It really is, yeah. It's really a home, you know, kind of environment, real kid-friendly pretty much, except for the rail height. Mm-hmm. But the atmosphere and the locals are, you know, they usually are more than willing to help people out that, you know, have a comprehensive good attitude about it. Everybody wants to just catch fish. And we all started not knowing a whole lot, and we're helped along by people, you know, like ourselves along the way. So we're glad to share the knowledge.
So, David, what is the best technique for me to use if I wanted to target flounder off of the pier?
Yeah, that's a good question, Alan, because, you know, a lot of people do come down. They want to specialize in one species, like you're saying, flounder. And there are a couple of good approaches. During the wintertime, a lot of them are caught incidental to people drifting live shrimp. Mm-hmm. It's starting to swing over now. The Gulf flounder are moving back in along the beach to stage before they move up into the bays. And often you'll see them around the pier for a few days. They'll hang around, feed for a little while. And you can use bull minnows now, too. That's a pretty good way of catching them. And, you know, just like you'd think in any other situation, you drop it down next to the structure. What a lot of people don't realize is as the waves wash around the pier, each one of those pilings has like a little cone where the current washes around mm-hmm. and swirls the sand out. And the flounder like to use those areas about 3 feet around the piling. They'll use them for little feeding stations around each of the piling. So the fishermen can just drop a bull minnow down and fish around the piling, you know, for a few minutes. And if he doesn't get a bite, just reel up and walk over to the next piling and drop down, you know, and try that. Or cast back up under the pier to the center piling and try around it.
Now, are bull minnows available down there around Orange Beach at the tackle stores?
Typically they are, yeah. The bait stores usually have them. At times they do get difficult to find, just like the live shrimp are now. Usually this time of year, they're pretty available. Size may be an issue, and if that's the case, there's always a go-to. Those same fish can even be targeted with artificials, especially leadhead jigs. And an old pier trick is to take a strip of stingray or a piece of an LY strip or something shiny on one side and pin it about a 3-inch strip and pin it on the back of that 3/4 ounce white jig and drop it to the bottom and just bounce it up and down. And it, you know, is similar to what the flounder are used to feeding on. I think it actually looks like a small squid trying to get away with a piece of bait, you know, and eat it himself, and it triggers that reflex, and the flounder just jumps up and snatches both of them in one big old gulp. And just like with a bull minnow, you just hesitate for a second or two when he settles back to the bottom, and then you jab him and yell for a net. Come on, somebody come help me net this fish.
I'm going to make a trip soon down there, David. I hope you're there to help me out, buddy. I appreciate the information.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.